It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji, I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to the show that was designed with you in mind. It's a show that's founded on kingdom principles, and it's a show that I get to do every Wednesday at this time with my two co-hosts, Niles and KJ. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Happy Wednesday, man.
Happy Wednesday. It's that time again.
It's that time again. It is. And coming up on the show today, we've got a lot of good things. Of course, with our trending topics. And we've got a guest that is doing it in the marketplace. And I'm so excited to have her here. But before all of that greatness, guys, I want to talk just a little bit about today's principle, why change is good. So hold on. Buckle in. You ready? Now, we've all been told that nothing stays the same. Change is the inevitable, and we know that. But there are times when, I don't know about you, but there are times when I really don't like change because it messes with my comfort. And one of the things that I have learned in this journey, on this journey called life, is that whenever I'm in God's presence, whatever happens, it's okay. So I want to just liken the scenario of, or give you a key rather, the key of life to dealing with change is manage and benefit from it. Now, there's no improvement without change, but not all change is an improvement. And one of the things that you kind of have to be mindful of is that God is a God of change, even though he never changes. How about that? And now, I said that I personally don't like change because it threatens my security. And unfortunately, it's the security that will trap you. Now, there's nothing more dangerous to self-destruction than comfort. I remember once where I had some successes in one of the agencies that we started in Atlanta, and it's real easy, really, really easy to get comfortable in those successes. And I learned that, yes, that was a success, but the worst thing that you can do is to stay right there. There's no growth. There's no development. So with that, expect change. The Bible talks about change in Ecclesiastes 3, that nothing stays the same, that there's a time to live, there's a time to die. But the sad part about when change happens is we get comfortable with the laughing, but it's written that there is a time to die. And it's that mourning that kind of gets us where we're thinking, okay, now what? But it is written also that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So what am I saying? Expect change, be okay with change, but just know that nothing, absolutely nothing stays the same. And that's been my saving grace from, I guess, being a young adult up until now. Even some of the hardest times that I've had to go through, I remember that nothing stays the same. So in this season of change, I got a new season. Yeah, we went from winter to spring, and now we're in the daylight saving time. What are you going to do with this particular season in your life of change? And I'll yield the floor, gentlemen.
All right. You know, it's spring. We got to spring into action when it comes down to change. But change is super important. You know, if there is no change, you do not grow as a human being, and it will inhibit your development. So I look at animals, for example. You know, let's say there is a particular type of species that doesn't belong in water, but there was a flood that floods their habitat. So that species will need to adapt or evolve to survive in that habitat from now on. Same thing with us. So let's say there is a change in your, like, in your family, like a family member passed away, you know, and you need to figure out, okay, how are we going to survive without this family member? You're going to have to change your mindset of how one to operate and be able to go through that turmoil, go through that angst, that uncomfortability to overcome that. Because if you stay in that grief, being in that grief for that long period of time could it's scientifically proven that it will it can actually do harm to your body, either causing cancer or even diabetes or other internal issues. So change is super important. Without change, we can't move forward. You know, if we don't change, we'll die. You know, we got to adapt to the weather. We have to adapt to different roadblocks in our life. And it's super important to elevating ourselves.
Good deal. Thank you, sir.
All right. Just to piggyback off of KJ, for me, change is necessary in order to grow. You can change for the better. You can change for the worse. Life is all about maturing and becoming. It's like the process of becoming a butterfly. You don't start off as a butterfly. You start off as a caterpillar, and you mature into a butterfly. Yeah. I think that's also interesting because they start off on the ground. And then when they mature and grow, they leave behind, you know, and embrace their new life. They start to discover their beauty, and then they take off. They are no longer bound due to the fact that they embrace their purpose and allow God to mature them and emancipate them. And for me, I think that's a beautiful example of changing for the better and changing for purpose. Changing to become more. You think about it, every character in the Bible had to be molded, and they had to change in order to fulfill the mission that God had for them. Example is Moses. You know, Moses had many questions on the journey. He was hesitant at times, and he was unsure. However, you know, his mindset and understanding had to adapt to the situation, and it had to change. And that's when Moses really started becoming the Moses that God designed him to be, you know. So just to make it plain and simple.
Good stuff. Yes, sir.
You mentioned how, like, you necessarily don't like change. You know, you mentioned that. What do you have to say to your audience who deal with the same thing that you do when it comes to, okay, change is coming, I don't like it, but I need to go through it. What do you have to say to your audience in terms of, like, okay, how do I face change when I know it's like I can't get around it?
You know, that's a really good question, honestly, because I'm dealing with that right now as we speak. And what I've learned is that I had to go back to what was the purpose of me even launching something. In this particular thing, it was something I was launching, and we've got to kind of scrub some things and go a different route. And I had to go back and ask myself the question, okay, I sat down and I counted the cost. I knew how much it was going to cost me to do what I got to do, but just going back and having to do it over, but do it in a way where it benefits this route that I'm doing, I asked myself, why did you even do it to begin with? And then once I settled that, I'm like, okay, grit your teeth and just go through it. And let this be a learning experience, that be okay. Don't guard life so tight that when change comes, you're just kind of disenfranchised or you're uncomfortable with it. Just go through it. Go through it with the mindset of, you know what? I got to get to the other side. This is a process I'm going through. I'm going to benefit on the other side. And that's seriously the reason why I'm still doing what I'm doing with that particular project, because I know it's got to work.
So you're saying that, like, we have to be flexible in everything that happens in life? Because, like,
flexibility and then that mindset. You know, when you're rigidly attached to the outcome, you're so focused on the outcome, you'll miss everything in the middle. So be okay with the outcome, but just keep your focus on what is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with that because like you could be going in one direction and God can be like, all right, cool. Let's scrap that. You know, let's go this way. Yep. Like, wait, no, you just have me build this entire thing. And now you're just saying, leave it.
Right.
You know, how do I?
That's what I said.
I was like, wait,
are you serious?
Wait a second. You know, that's scary. Yeah. You know, strange is scary. It's uncomfortable. It challenges you. It challenges your relationship with God. It challenges your relationships in general, you know, but
yeah, absolutely.
You know, we always talk about chaos, you know, change could be a form of chaos.
Absolutely. Sure. You better believe it is. It is. And change is good. Niall said it best with growth and development. Change is good. And you said it also, Kate. Change is good for growth and development. Mm-hmm. Who wants to be 50 years old walking around with a bottle?
You know what? I had an acting teacher and he said that his father did this. I don't know if this was like in his community that he did this. I'm like, okay, this is crazy. I would never do this. He said that he was the fourth child of five, I believe. And then he said he threw all the babies into the pool. And so it triggered them to like, okay, you're either going to sink or swim. And I'm like, wait, what, you're talking about 1 month? You're talking about like a year, 2 years? Like what, what's that? But that's not the point of it. You know, it's like, are you going to sink or swim? You know? And I was like, okay, that's an interesting way to put it. I don't think I would do that, but it's crazy to think about like when you're going through change, it's either you're going to sink or you're going to swim.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to adapt to change or are you going to have change like overcome you?
That's good. That's really good.
But I have a question. Why do you think we resist change so much? Why do you think people hold on to change when sometimes the other side of change could be progress? And they're not necessarily even comfortable or in a decent place in their current situation. So it's kind of like, what could be worse than your current situation that you're not happy with, but then you're afraid to a change. And, you know, I guess maybe it's fear of the unknown, but
that had, you know, I was thinking that. I swear to you, that's exactly what I was thinking. Fear of the unknown.
But when it is fear of the unknown, that means you're not 100% angry at God. What do you think?
You're giving me chill bumps, man.
I mean, I'm just saying, because technically that's what faith is. You know, you can't see faith. Absolutely. You can't see faith in God, you know, but it's the belief, you know. So are you really 100% anchored in God when you fear the unknown?
I think
technically we walk into the unknown every day. We wake up not knowing what's going to happen for the day. We wake up, you know, going to work not knowing what's going to happen. So, like, we're dealing with the unknown all the time.
Wow.
You know? But we still trust God enough to carry us through the day. We still think we're going to make it through any and every day. So that's in a different form. It's like, what do you really have to lose, you know?
I think it's a mindset, to be honest. You know, I think you need faith. But, yeah, because, like, I know for me, it's like I need that angst to keep happening, that drive, and that's what drives me. You know, being in the same place, that there's no option. Like that's not an option. Because you get comfortable. And when you get comfortable, you get lazy. And we talked about laziness and slowfulness last week. And when you're lazy, you know, do the math.
It's a snowball effect.
It's a snowball effect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think it's a huge mindset shift. It's a mindset shift from a winning mentality from a losing mentality.
For sure. But I think, like, we on a daily basis, like I said, we deal with the unknown. And, like, we learned this in acting class, KJ, where, you know, I think change also has an element of trust. Because as you get in your car every day, you trust that your vehicle is going to get you home, right? I mean, I know where you end up. But I'm like, man, this is so interesting, you know? We deal with the unknown all the time.
Every day. Like, we just didn't sit to think about. You're spot on what you're saying, but you're absolutely right. We deal with it every day. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, that'll be a really dope film, you know, just to look at. What if like everything around us, we just didn't trust anymore? I don't trust this chair. Gravity was like, all right, cool.
That's true.
Yeah. Gravity said bye. Oh my gosh.
That's a good example. Like the chair that you're sitting in now, how did you know to trust it? It might be unknown. Maybe it might fall through, but you still took the chance to sit in that chair.
I still took the chair.
Yep. I took a chance. I don't trust the chair.
So, really
make you think, though.
Yeah, and I understand what you were saying. Like, it is a mindset thing, too, because if you can switch yourself out of, you know, thinking like this could happen or that could happen and just totally just be there present and trust, the outcome will be completely different. Because these chairs are man-made. I didn't see some chairs fall through. you know?
or that screen door when like you like open the sliding glass door, you're like, all right, cool, I'm going to walk through. You're like, oh, I thought it was open.
Yeah. But then that's another example. Even if the chair falls through, I mean, you're still going to get up. You don't die.
Right.
So,
Now one of them today. I love it. Thank you, sir. Because you're making logic of everything that we're talking about. I think sometimes we have a tendency to maybe convolute things and make them too difficult when they really are not as difficult as we thought. How many times have we done that? When change happened, you're thinking that something is just going to be the worst when it turned out to be one of the best experiences that you've had.
So, exactly.
It takes time.
It takes time
to just break away.
Yes, it does.
That. You know, it takes 21 days to make a habit, but it takes like 60 to about 90 days for that habit to become a lifestyle. You know, and you have to keep working on it. You know, you never stop growing as a human being. You never stop growing as an artist. You never stop growing as a mom. You never stop growing as a son. Because there is so much that happens in life, so much change, so much chaos, so much angst, and you have to like, okay, where's my anchor right now? Where am I placed in? You know, because without that, you know, a typhoon can come and you'll just be swimming with fishes.
Absolutely. Wow. Yep. What about that, man? I love discussions like this because it really opens up in three dimension instead of just looking at how you handle, you know, change.
Yeah.
It's accessible, if that makes any sense. Yep. When you kind of think about, you're thinking about your next move, and I just started doing that, a few years ago, seriously sitting down and thinking and planning. I guess that change came when I'm like, you know what? I'm hitting a brick wall here. I can't keep doing the same thing and thinking that I'm going to get a somewhat different result. So I welcome change. Even though I don't like some changes, they are good for us. And I do good understand. Conversation. Absolutely. And as long as you've got that connection, and you said it best, Niles, when you have that connection with God, that's everything. That really is an anchor. And it's one that I use daily throughout the day, because I will not declare independence ever again, thinking that I can do anything by myself. No, sir.
Yep.
Nope. Which puts us into another segue. If this is interesting to you that are listening or watching, why don't you come and be interactive with us? Give us a call at 323-203-0815. Again, that number, 323-203-0815. And guess what, guys? I showed up Monday. Yep, I showed up for Talk to Tanji. I was there live. It was 7-ish, but I did it. So don't forget to join me every Monday, God's willing, in the Creek Don't Ride on Facebook Live, Talk to Tanji. That's 7-ish. I'm usually there by 7:30, but join me, why don't you? And I definitely want to thank me and my Nana Home Care. They are people who take care of your loved ones. Should you have senior care, baby, woes, give them a call at 678-381-1540. They have licensed certified nursing assistants, licensed LPNs and RNs, and they really do a really good job serving about 28 counties in Georgia. So if you're anywhere in the Atlanta metro area, all the way up to Northeast Georgia, give them a call and tell them Dr. Tanji sent you. They better treat you right. Yep.
There we go.
They're our sponsors for this month, and we're grateful for them.
So,
what's going on, man?
Well, the world is full of change. The world had to go through change to get where we are right now. And one thing we want to highlight are the women. You know, it's Women's History Month. You know, women have are an incredible part of our world. They have a lot of rich history, and without them, I wouldn't be here. Niles wouldn't be here.
Nope.
Tanji, you wouldn't be here.
Nope.
Because you guys are the caregivers. You guys help. You guys, we come from your womb, and you guys are the first woman that we end up loving in the beginning. You know, my mom actually sent me this quote, and I think it's pretty crazy. I was like, but she said it said that I asked God for I asked God for a man who will love me forever, and he gave me a son. I was like,
are you serious?
Yes. I thought that was a really good quote. And for this week, we're going to be talking about we're about to go into the atmosphere, the stratosphere of the stratosphere, by talking about a Soviet cosmonaut, Valentina Tereshkova. She was the first woman to travel into space on June 16th, 1963. She was launched on the spacecraft Vostok 6, which completed 48 orbits in 71 hours. So that's an amazing feat, you know. Also, that was the stepping stone for other women, you know, to become astronauts and to join NASA and also be part of the Space Force. And if you want to look into more women's history, I recommend these movies: Hidden Figures, which is about three African American women who are helping the first walk onto the moon by the United States government. We have Little Women, we have Frida, Beyonce's Homecoming, and Queen of Cataway. So those are some movies you can look at if you guys want additional Women's History Month information as well. And NCAA, all right, as we're talking about women, I really want to talk about women's rights, equality. Ooh. I understand there are different size fan bases when it comes down to women's sports, so I can understand the financial gap. I understand that. However, when it comes down to this, the NCAA basketball tournament is taking place in the Orlando bubble. All right. They had multiple months to prepare for it. The male side of the bubble have gyms, a lot of like equipment they can use. They have catered food fresh every day. Mm-hmm. But then when you look at the women, they don't have the same luxuries as the men, but they're playing the exact same sport. They're more I honestly think women's NCAA is more entertaining because of the skill and fundamentals, but that's just my opinion. But when you look at what they offered the women, they said, oh, we weren't able to build more gyms, they just have a couple dumbbells because there weren't enough space. There was a video shown about this one of the athletes showing that, okay, this is the court, turned around, empty space. They could have put a gym right next to it, and that's how the men's basketball bubble was orchestrated. So I just thought that was really, really I thought it was foul on the NCAA part because women still need the same equipment. You know, they don't just need a few dumbbells that they have to share. And the food quality, like, it was in Tupperware containers. I was like, wait a minute. While the men had this buffet type
stuff. Are you serious about this, Gage?
So I was when I read that, I was disheartened And I am for advocacy of equality in terms of like men and women when it comes down to sports, financials, and opportunity, because that was not right. So NCAA, you got to do better. This past week, we've had two mass shootings. We talked about it briefly last week with Atlanta, what happened in the spa. Six beautiful souls were taken away from us. And also a few days ago in Colorado, 10 beautiful, amazing souls were taken away from us with a shooting in a grocery store. We want to give our prayers out to their family, their friends during this time, because it's not easy. They weren't doing anything, you know. How do you explain that to those who have kids? Why was mommy taken away from me? I can't give you an answer for that, you know.
Yeah.
So, I know that the Biden and Kamala Harris are fighting for gun reformation in terms just to make sure we can have only respectable people are allowed to carry guns. But it's hard, you know, because we are, as America, as a country, we go through this time and time again. Absolutely. Of like, okay, who else? It's becoming numbing now. So change needs to happen. But when are we going to start, you know?
Yeah.
We always want to change, but who wants to change? Change ourselves to change the world. This weekend, a couple things to look out for to keep your spirits high. We heard about Disney Plus is launching a lot of screening content. So if you want to watch with your family, your friends, you guys can watch Falcon Winter Soldier. I know they're coming out with Black Widow soon. Kong versus Godzilla is coming out this week, so that'll be an interesting super dope action film to watch with you and your friends and your family. If you're vaccinated, go ahead and gather together, but if you're not, you may want to stick to Zoom. But other than that, I want you guys to have an amazing weekend this week. But speaking of weekends, this past weekend, Dr. T,
yeah,
was I invited? I don't know.
Oh my gosh, man. Like, you know you were invited. You guys were unbelievable, KJ Niles. I'm serious. The support that you've given me. It was my very first virtual book discussion, and it chronicled my new book, Journaling with Dr. Tanji. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of wonderful feedback from people that either was there or wanted to be there, and it was more than I could have imagined. Trinity and Kayla and Kendall, I mean, they were just wonderful. We had Asia Major there, and she released our new song that we're putting the fine tuning on, and it'll be wonderful to have it as a part of the show. Yeah,
you know, it was incredible to see you in action, seeing everybody there. You know, we did our thing, and you know, I believe that everybody came there and they got something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the first, but it ain't the last. I'll tell you that there will be more coming from Dr. T and what she has to give to the world.
Absolutely. So don't forget, 7:00-ish. On Facebook Live, I'll be there front and center on all things Talk to Tanji. It's an interactive show, but I've noticed that I kind of get on there and make certain that just checking in, make sure that you're good so that we're able to get through at least that day together. And it's a lot of fun. So join me, if you will, 7-ish on all things Talk to Tanji, and it's on Facebook Live. Also, just another shout out to me and my Nana. They are an absolutely fantastic home care agency, and I say that without any bias. They've been around for a long time, and the wonderful thing that separates that particular home care agency from the other home care agencies, and we're not knocking anybody's business. Honestly, we're not. It's just that we have that emotion quotient. And I like the fact that they make certain that they're not just sending out a warm body to take care of your elderly member or your child. They are persons that will be exactly what your family is in need of. So you can give them a call at 678-381-1540. And don't forget, we've got past shows that we upload every Friday on our YouTube channel at Dr. Tanji Show. And coming up this Friday is How to Love the Unlovable. I remember that show, and it's with Don Osborne. So you want to check us out, please. YouTube, it'll come out, I think, 6 o'clock. Is it still 6?
Still 6 o'clock.
All right, very good that we upload the show. Now, without further ado, I get an opportunity to say hello to Miss Cynthia Cindy Hammer. She's an author, an actress, a radio host of her own show called Hammer Away. And she hails from Maryland, and she's bi-coastal, so I like that. I like that a lot. She's currently on a book tour, and this is her third novel, The Seven Rivers. Of course, we've got to give a shout out to the radio station 106.3 FM and AM where she worked at KCAA. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's our lady, Miss Cindy Hammer. How are you?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me on the show, Dr. Tanji.
Welcome.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I realize I can't see a thing without my glasses. So,
No worries.
Did you have a question? I'm sorry.
No. I was just getting ready to get excited about having you here.
Thank you. Congratulations on your book.
That's a big deal. Thank you so much. It is, isn't it?
It's a big deal here.
does anybody know how big of a deal this is?
It's a big deal. Well, the writing world does. Writers know, because it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of focus. And I like the topic of change. Change, I think the best way to describe it, if I could just hone in on it just briefly, is that we all have different experiences, experience, different circumstances when it comes to change. And I always found out the young man said, change you must or die you will. You can literally die or you can die spiritually. But if you're a believer of God, one way or another, you will change. Either you'll come to him willingly or you'll come on your knees, but you will come.
Come on. I tell my daughter all the time, baby, you don't fall on the word. You don't want the word falling on you.
Exactly.
Absolutely not.
It's funny because I open all of my books with scripture on purpose. Yes, I dedicated my third novel. I dedicated it to my nieces and nephews, my very first book, Iceberg. Dedicated my second ones to the elders who have moved on to heaven. And what happens is the world will clap for you, but you want people that have been in your life to realize how big of a deal it is. And a lot of times they don't. Either they're not awake, they don't realize it, or they're haters, or whatever the circumstances is, God has always been consistent. Amen. So I said, you know what, God? Amen. I'm not putting anyone in the book. I'm dedicating this to you.
Wow.
There's no way to pay your respects than to say, when people open it, dedicated to Jesus Christ. I give this body of work unto thee.
I love it. Yep. And you are truly gleaning from the fruit of your labor.
Yes. So that's a mic drop right there. But thank you again for having me on the show. You mentioned the caregivers. My second novel, I write for youth and young adults. Yes. So my second novel
about that too.
Yes, is a good case. Yes. That's for adults.
Oh, absolutely. And it's good. Let's start there. Why don't we? I love the fact that the character in this particular book, Sheila, if I'm not mistaken, she has had her own maybe home care or did something with maybe a caregiver in the senior world and just kind of picked up and left, did she not? What's the backstory on that particular book? I like that book.
Okay, so actually, I'll just put a disclaimer out. Allegedly, someone has tasted that book for a TV show on Channel 2. But we'll leave that alone.
Okay.
I've toured all over the United States, and I've toured at some of the best bookstores in Southern California, Chaucer's, the Thousand Oaks bookstore, let me see, Diesel in Malibu. What's the other one in Malibu? Oh, I can't think of it offhand. However, and Diesel in Brentwood, well, Malibu's closed. It's in Brentwood now, but I did Malibu when it was open. And you get all kinds of celebrities that'll come in. Pierce Brosnan, Owen Wilson, Cat Williams, you know, these people just walk into your author signing. Because are you in L.A.?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're in L.A., so I'm preaching to the choir.
All right.
With that said, you'll get writers that come in. You hope that someone recognizes your work, but you also them to ask you for it. However, a good case has done phenomenal. So a good case is a true story. 99.9% is true. I write it as fiction because when I came out to California about 16 years ago, I didn't know how expensive it was. We made this great place in Calabasas. I mean, we're looking, you know, you got to look for a house. You know, we land a place in Calabasas. The rent is through the roof. And I say to my husband, you know, instead of running through our savings, I'll get a job. So I thought, you know what? I know how to take care of seniors. I did that as a kid. I hadn't done it years, but I did it as a kid. So when I started doing it, oh, my goodness, it's just so many different. You had your great agencies, not so great. You have your great caregivers and not so great. But the writer in me said, oh, my God, there's a story here.
Oh, I love you, lady. Are you serious?
Yeah, there's a story here. Let me tell you, they line up around the corner for a good case. A good case pays homage to the caregiver and to the senior, but you'll laugh, you'll cry. It's almost like The Help because I could have wrote The Help as well about two maids, but it's behind the scenes, just like The Help. I met this great lady in Beverly Hills on a case for a very, very 90s fashion designer. I can't give away the name still, you know.
For sure.
But she had dressed like Farrah Fawcett and Jacqueline Smith, you know, that era. You know, like Sammy Davis. No, I don't know if Sammy was he alive. Sidney Poitier. She entertained that era. Yeah. And she was able to show me pictures. At this time, she was unable to speak. But she showed me pictures and walked me through her life. So, you know, people have fascinating lives, seniors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's how the good case came about.
Yes.
Not to cut you off, but okay.
No, you're fine. Please do. It's your show.
No, because I love the way you, and I'm actually picturing this as you're speaking. I swear to you, I can see how that character could come alive because you're absolutely right. There's the people that get to serve as a caregiver, their lives really are interesting. They're fabulous lives.
Exactly.
You're absolutely correct.
Their voice is the unheard. It's heard more today now. It's really heard today. That's why the book.
I got you.
See, this is God. This is God. A book written like 3 years ago is so more relevant now, right at this minute.
Yeah. But isn't it how he does it, though? Isn't it how he does it? He'll have you do a thing, and you're like, okay, God,
I opened this book with scripture to cover it. It's called Covering It. Okay, John 3:14. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. If that's not a caregiver.
Come on, baby.
Because when I do interviews, people ask me, you know, what is a caregiver? And I said, you know, a caregiver has a certain heart. It's their heart. Mm-hmm. It's not something you can learn in a textbook.
And that's what I tell people. When I used to interview for caregivers for the agency, I was looking, I'd look past the resume or the vita. I'm looking at the heart. Who are you? I'd always start off with an interview. Who are you? And they would tell me so much more than what I could actually read. So you're spot on, honey. I'm copying my copy of that book today. But I want to segue into how did you get young people to listen to what you're saying, because you deal with a lot of adolescents kind of, you know, do I be a bully or do I not be a bully? And one of the books I was reading, and I loved it. Thank you so much. I'm ordering all three of them. I kid you.
Thank you.
Today. But this particular one on Iceberg and Seven Rivers, they're kind of, do they complement? Is that what you?
It's a sequel. Iceberg. And Iceberg and the Seven Rivers, there's a sequel. Iceberg's first, and then it's the Seven Rivers. So when I was 12, my brother was 10, through a dream that I had, that I dreamed that he would fall through frozen water. I kept dreaming it as a kid.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, this is all Jesus. This whole picture here, the day I stepped out on the water, this guy is it. God. Let me just do a quick, as short as I possibly can. I kept dreaming my younger brother would fall through frozen water. I grew up outside of Annapolis, Maryland, in an all-white neighborhood. We were the only blacks outside of the neighborhood. I grew up on the waterfront, not having waterfront property, but like half a mile from walking distance to the water or less. Great swimmer, great ice skater. Never had a pair of skates. We used our sneakers. One year, the river froze, and my girlfriend had a set of roller skates, and she was spoiled rotten, and she wanted to go out on the ice, and I had kept a secret. I don't want to give the book away, and I told her my secret about my brother falling through frozen water. Now, she was the devil, so she really couldn't care less. But we looked around that day, and she said, Lawrence is not out here. So I looked across the water, miles away. Mm-hmm. I didn't see him. He was nowhere in sight. And when I stepped on the ice, something in my spirit said, you're going to write about this one day. And he said, in 40 years. And I never forgot his voice. He said, in 40 years. And I looked at the sky. Now, I'm really young. I'm about 12 years old. But I look at the sky, and it just burned in my memory. And the way he led me up to see God, will, like I said, you come, either you'll walk or you'll crawl. But fast forward, he led me to a artist. I was helping an older lady, like pick tomatoes and peaches, keeping her company, dropping by to see her. And she was dying. And she tells me to go in the back room. She wanted me something. And I'm looking through this. Rosalie, are you a painter? Because I'm looking for an illustrator.
For sure.
And she's 83. Wow. And she says, I thought I would leave this world before someone saw my work. And I said, I tell you what, everybody in the world is going to see.
Oh, my God. Don't you dare do this to me. This is so not fair. I was not ready for you, lady.
It gets better. When I was 9 years old. Okay, so in this book, I was jumped on the school playground by 9 boys. That's how I relate to teenagers. They did not get in trouble. I was bullied as a child, and then I became a bully with the girlfriend I met, not blaming her, but out of survival. If you can't beat them, join them. So I can relate to both sides. But being the only black kid in school with the last name W, not the only black kid in my classroom at the time when I was, I guess I was about 9 when I was jumped. So there was a book on the shelf, 3 books left from the library assignment. One was Up for Glory. I think it was Julius Erving. The other one was like some science book. And the third book was What is Black? Now, I already knew I was black. And I felt like they left a book for my black behind. So I'm it was a horrible, it was awkward. So I go get my book, What is Black? Okay, no one wants this book out of 30, right?
Right.
My last name's W, so I'm picking last. You know, in alphabetical order. So no one wants this book. So I already feel like crap that I don't have nothing to choose from. But I have this one. So I go home and I read it. And I read it because it's my book. Signed to me. Yeah. My first something from me.
I
read it. And I read it. And it's about everything that is black that is beautiful. And I read it so many times that I finally turned it over. And the author was black. And I screamed, she's black. I tell you, you can't make it up. I screamed, she's black. He's black. The author is black. And my mother's like, shut up, girl. Shut that noise up. Go sit down. I said, she's black.
Yeah.
So I run out in the woods with my little book. She says, get your butt outside. I go in the woods and I get down on my knees behind a tree and I pray. I said, God, dear God, let me meet Miss Betty Baker one day.
Oh, come on. Come on. Don't you dare do this. Are you serious?
I said, where will I find her? He said, you'll find her in North Carolina. You'll find her on a dirt gravel road. And I saw this fence around the yard. Now I'm thinking, God, we're dirt poor. Where am I going to see a yard? Where will I ever get out of this town to see a yard that big? Well, 20 years later, it was my yard. We had built a new house with a gravel road. And I met Miss Betty Baker 25 years later.
I'm done.
She invites me to her home. It's a long story. I'm cutting through. She invites me to her home. She tells me, I tell her about my the story. She says, that's a book. You need to call it Iceberg. You need to write about it. And we are best friends. So it gets better. So she turns around to me. Now I leave her home. I go search for a book because she can't find it. She's looking for something. She tells me she wrote this great book in the 70s. When I leave, God brings back the memory that that's the author that I prayed about. He brought it back. So I call a friend of mine who's a librarian. She finds the book. The next time I visit Miss Betty Baker, I have the book behind my back. And I said, can you please sign What Is Black? She cries. I cry. Oh, I tell her what she meant to me as a kid. Can't make it up.
Oh my God. I'm just, you can't see these tears, but I've got.
It's a hallelujah moment. I listen.
Oh my God.
This is all Jesus. And so you know what she says to me? She says, by any chance, do you know anything about a lumberyard? I'm writing a book called Hattie's Decision, which is my mother's name, Addie. I'm writing a book called Hattie's Decision, and it takes place in a lumber mill. I said, well, my father was a lumberjack. What do you want to know?
You know what? I'm so done with you, lady. Thank you for coming. God bless you guys. Pick up the book. Wow.
And then the story she's writing about takes place in North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And my dad. What? Yes.
Yeah. No, I want to hear that. You got to tell me your dad.
My dad, he drove a forklift. He worked at a lumberyard. He drove a track and trailer. And I said, the first thing you want to listen to is the sound of the lumber falling. And she said, oh, my God, that's good. Because a writer needs detail. We sat for another hour. I gave her everything because I grew up down the street from one.
Uh-huh.
And we've been best friends ever since. And I knew at that moment that he was going to make my book successful. All I had to do was show up and do the work.
Amen. You know what? And that right there in and of itself is the premise of, I believe, why we... You know, I did a show once, Success is a Choice. Mm-hmm. You have chosen success, honey, because you believed it. You believed it even as a child. You had to, because I honestly believe that that is the foundation that got you here. What would you say, in closing, what would you say to someone that says, I know there's a book in me, I don't know how to get it out, but I keep having these reoccurring dreams and they've been with me for years about like how you were having those dreams.
Okay.
I noticed that one of your characters said that about the dream, the reoccurring dream. What would you say to someone who has a book and they need to birth it?
Okay, put it on paper. That's where it starts. Mm. You literally pick up a journal and start putting it on paper. Now, my disclaimer is some people have a great story. Not everyone's a writer. I'm a writer that has great stories. If you have a great story, it's okay to hire someone professionally to help you set it in place. Because I have just been gifted with the ability to put, as a content editor, I can set the book in place. I don't know where it comes from. Well, I do know where it comes from.
Well, I was about to say, come on, Cindy. You know.
But I can set her in place. I have set all of my books in place, and people have said, you know, I think it should go here. No. Because God has told me to put it in this order. So I don't change my order. But I sit with God, and I put it in order before I write. That's just what I do, because that's my relationship. But if you do have a story, absolutely, because I think everyone, there's all kinds of good books out here, but I also believe that a lot of the talent has been missed. There's so many people that can write. And we just, you know, I love my John Grishams and my Ludlums and all that, but there's so many people who can actually write. I have traveled to the South. Some of these young girls can put out a story. And I said, did you write this? Are you kidding me? Yes. Oh, I just do it for fun.
Wow. I know, right? I know, right?
Yes. Wow. So I just say, do it. Write it. And you know what? Do it for yourself.
Okay. And you heard it, guys. You heard this woman say it. This highly successful writer, actress. She's doing it all. She said, just do it. Do it for yourself. And that's a perfect place to stop. I've got to say thank you. Thank you so, so very much for taking time, something that we don't create. You took time to be here with us, and I'm so grateful for you. Thank you very, very much. I'll say a quick shout out to everyone who listened. I pray that you got something, some nuggets from this show. Thank you, guys, KJ and Niles. Thank you, LA Talk Radio. Thank you very much, Miss Cindy Hammer, for being here. I love you very, very much. Don't forget to smile. It just makes your day better. Mwah! See you next time. Bye.